Hillary Adam is going to introduce us.
Hey, thank you. Hillary Adam, BDS. I'm here mostly to introduce Kevin Botten from BPS and Patrick Sweeney from PBOT that will take you through this presentation. This is one piece of the Umbrella Southwest Corridor project that proposes to extend Max Line down to Tigard and Bridgeport Village. And there are some other pieces that you've been briefed on a little bit closer to downtown, like the Markham Hill connector. And this piece is essentially just focused on the Ross Island Bridgehead and transportation improvements right there, and some planning work that's being done around that area. So you did receive an advanced copy of the presentation accompanied with a PBOT memo and a BDS staff memo. And I'm here if you have any questions before or after.
Thank you, Hillary. Patrick and Kevin, the floor is yours. And however you would like to organize the presentation of materials, it's entirely up to you. And also, give us some instruction if you would like us to hold questions or ask questions as you move through materials.
All right, thank you. Good to be here. Nuts and bolts question first. I need to, I have a PowerPoint I need to share. So if I can, someone can pass over the controls to me or allow me to share, that would be great.
The ability to share already as a...
Okay, got it.
Perfect.
All right, I'm in slideshow mode, great. Kevin, you wanna kick it off?
Sure, thanks Patrick, thank you everyone. Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Kevin Bond, I'm a city planner with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm actually filling in today for project manager on the BPS side, Ryan Curran, who is out of office right now. And as Hillary mentioned, also with me today is my colleague, Patrick Sweeney with PBOT. And today we're here to brief you on a couple of projects that are happening in South Portland today.
Before we jump into the projects, I would like to quickly review existing conditions so we're all oriented to the area. So right in the middle of this aerial photo, this is current conditions in South Portland around the west end of the Ross Island Bridge. And focus on the center of the photo where NATO Parkway meets the Ross Island Bridge. There's a weave and a braid of ramps. And you know, what this braid and weave represents, this is how most of the traffic enters the bridge in an eastbound direction. Traffic coming from the south goes up NATO and makes a right-hand turn onto the bridge. Traffic from I-5 northbound curls around, goes back south, cuts through the Corbett neighborhood on local streets to get to the Kelly Street ramp. And then traffic from I-405 and Highway 26 in the Sylvan Tunnels headed towards the Ross Island Bridge, weaves down through Arthur and Kelly, gets onto NATO Parkway, and then also joins this, joins the traffic flow. So there's three merges in this area between the campus of National University of Natural Medicine and the Corbett neighborhood and the Lair Hill neighborhood. Lots of traffic flow pulsing through this area. And might I add, regional traffic that's pulsing through local neighborhoods to get onto the bridge. So this, you're gonna see some ideas about this area in the next couple slides, but also Barbara Boulevard over in the lower right corner of your screen is where the proposed Southwest Corridor light rail will be. And right under my cursor will be the Gibbs Street, the approximate location of the Gibbs Street station right about here. Kevin?
Right. So as Patrick mentioned, you know, this area is gets a lot of traffic. In fact, for most people who don't live in the neighborhood nowadays, you'd most likely know this area as an interchange, especially during rush hour, and probably don't even realize that there's a neighborhood here. So, you know, if all you ever really saw was from your vehicle was Barber Boulevard or NATO Parkway or going over the Ross Island Bridge in a vehicle, that you probably miss that there's, you know, turn of the century Victorian houses here in a quaint historic district. But if you did live here, going back, you know, the last 100 years as a resident, you would have experienced the neighborhood being divided over and over again by infrastructure projects, starting all the way back with the construction of the Ross Island Bridge in 1926. Then in the 1930s and 40s, the construction of the Barber Boulevard, which used to be a railroad. And Front Avenue was widened and became part of the Harbor Drive Expressway. Then the construction of the current Ross Island Bridge ramps that we have today. Then the South Auditorium Urban Renewal Project and the construction of Interstate 5 and 405 in the 1960s and 70s. And today residents are burdened by this unfriendly barrier of NATO Parkway. Being this remnant of an obsolete highway, rush hour backups, cars cutting through the neighborhood to get in between highways. There's been a lot of changes over the years. Patrick?
So what we'd like to share with you today is an update on this. So there's two related projects going on in the same area. There's the PBOT Ross Island Bridgehead NATO Main Street Concept Plan. And then there's the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability NATO Main Street Plan. So one is a transportation project and one is a land use project in the same exact area, dovetailed together so that when finished, this area will work, new development and the new roadways will work together to grow into a better neighborhood, a great neighborhood. The PBOT plan for reconfiguring the Ross Island Bridgehead braid of ramps into a street network is part of the Central City Package of Improvements in the Metro Regional Investment Measure. If that regional investment measure passes in early November, PBOT will work with neighborhood associations and project stakeholders, such as South Portland Neighborhood Association and National University of Natural Medicine, the NUNM campus. We'll work very closely with them to advance this project into concept, from concept into design, engineering, and then implementation.
Kevin? So the NATO Main Street plan that BPS is preparing will be a package of limited zoning changes, some new street classifications, and development concepts for publicly owned opportunity sites. The plan uses a racial equity lens to identify what public benefits should come with this change. And as far as timeline goes, the draft plan is expected to advance to the Planning and Sustainability Commission and City Council review stages in spring next year, 2021. And we're about midstream in the community engagement process at this moment. And so there will be more opportunities for the public to influence the contents of the land use plan. So with this, what we want to talk about next is some context because the plans that we're working on are really informed by the history of this area. Going all the way back to the first harmful impacts from European settlers on Native Americans, past auto infrastructure projects, land use regulations, urban renewal and real estate practices really shaped the growth in South Portland for generations. You know, some of the first inhabitants of the area were the Chinookan and Cowlitz people, who were the first to live here and were the first to be displaced, whether it was physically or by disease, by European settlers. And this is actually a gap in the history that we're trying to fill right now, working with the city's tribal affairs director. And in the first half of the 20th century, the area was home to a large multicultural immigrant community. And by 1940, around 40% of this area were people that were foreign born and immigrated here. However, in the South Auditorium Urban Renewal District displaced over 500 households and 200 businesses between 1958 and 1974. So the images you're seeing are kind of a before and after that project. On the left side of the screen is the South Portland area in 1938, before the urban renewal project and before the freeways were constructed. You can see the old street grid is intact. All the buildings, our project study area is in the foreground on the left side. And on the right is the same area outlined in yellow, zoomed in on the South Auditorium urban renewal area shortly after the buildings were demolished, including a good amount of low-income housing, businesses, places of worship were all removed. Next slide there, Patrick.
Yeah. And my computer is frozen. There we go.
All right. So the question we're asking, the city is committed to ensure new plans and investments redress some of these past harms that I just mentioned and honor the history of South Portland as a home to indigenous and immigrant communities. And this is an area that was also subjected to the discriminatory real estate lending practice of redlining in the last century. And that map is shown on the left side of the picture. So, redressing past harms, but also honoring history, what does that mean in practice? And to help answer that, we have an equity analysis that's underway right now as part of this project to identify who benefited and who was burdened by this past, and how the Ross Island Bridge and NATO improvements can be designed for more equitable outcomes. Specifically, how these publicly owned properties, particularly the sites where the Ross Island Bridge ramps are today, can best be used, and how zoning and land use tools can create public benefits. So working with the Bureau Equity Managers, we're also working with Oregon Black Pioneers, NUNM, the National University of Natural Medicine, Cedarwood School, Jewish Federation of Greater Portland, and Neighborhood Association members, and others as we go through this equity analysis.
So the Ross Island Bridgehead NATO Main Street project has been decades in the making. It is a project that is extremely important to the residents of South Portland. It will replace a remnant section of highway with a multimodal street network, complete with pedestrian crossings, protected bike facilities, and will result in a major reduction of regional traffic that's pulsing through local streets to get to the bridge.
There's a significant amount of transportation improvements that we want to respond to with the urban forum in this land use plan. The neighborhood will be physically reconnected by some of these improvements, and we need to look at how these new land uses can contribute to healthy and better connected communities, but also new land uses that are more inclusive. This is a neighborhood, part of which is in a historic district, that has some pretty different demographics over the last few decades that have generally trended whiter, wealthier, a little bit older. There's some more homeowners compared with the city as a whole. So as the area changes both demographically and physically, we need to ask how these kind of transportation improvements coupled with land use can create more equity and an inclusive community. So that's kind of the big arc of the project.
So An overview of the transportation features as part of the PBOT project is, as I've shown you before, it's removal of the bridgehead, the braided ramps, and replacing that with a surface street network, a multimodal street grid. It will remove or help reduce significantly regional traffic through the neighborhood, and I'll show you a little more details how that works. It will have signalized intersections and traffic signals on NATO Parkway, which there are none today. Like, you can't cross the street from Corbett to Larry Hill, except for like a janky pedestrian bridge around Hooker Street. But literally, this divides the neighborhoods. I mean, there's not even a pedestrian at level street grade crossing. So we're also, as part of the concept, is complete better NATO from downtown to Barber. And then, you know, when you think about 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 together, it equals 6. It's a different, National University of Natural Medicine, NUNM, Larry Hill, Corbett neighborhood connectivity that is definitely not there today. So it's like a transformational type of improvement project for the South Portland neighborhood. And here's a little bit about how that works. So you'll note in the middle of your screen, you'll see that the green highlighted areas is the braid and weave of ramps. So that gets taken out and replaced with a couplet with signalized intersections, and that replaces all the ramps and overs and unders. The concept moves regional traffic away from the neighborhoods. And one key way it does it, from I-5 North, where it takes this ramp and curls around. Formerly, you would go south and then go up towards Gibbs Street to the Kelly Street ramp. That gets eliminated, gone. So traffic on I-5 North to get onto the bridge east will, it's a right-hand exit. It flies over I-5, but instead of turning south, it just goes straight to Kelly Avenue to a traffic signal. And then from there, it moves on Kelly Avenue a little bit south, and then merges onto a street that goes over the Ross Island Bridge. So it gets rid of that key connection. So that is also a super attractive cut-through route for traffic coming from the south, going north to get on the bridge eastbound. So in the afternoons, Kelly Avenue, Corbett Avenue, the whole Corbett neighborhood jams up with traffic of people lining up to use that Kelly Street ramp. So what this will do is get rid of that. And that is huge for the neighbors. And this has been decades in the making. We've been thinking about how to deal with this project for a long time. So new signalized intersections on NATO help enable the NATO Main Street concept, because you can actually cross the street now. And those working together, as I mentioned before, help in rethinking about the NATO Parkway and the right-of-way width allows this idea of a NATO Main Street concept. It doesn't have to be a highway. We can turn it into something else. Access from I-5 northbound to 26 eastbound is removed from the Corbett neighborhood, as I just mentioned. And then also importantly is the Highway 26 to Highway 26. So Ross Island Bridgehead is Highway 26. I-405 is also Highway 26. So regionally, this connection is pretty important, very important. Lots of people from Washington County, Clackamas County, Multnomah County use this connection on a daily basis. But previously, and as it works today, it comes at the expense of the Lair Hill and the Corbett neighborhoods. So what this new scheme will do is concentrate traffic on the traffic flow, the regional traffic flow, onto Kelly and Arthur, and keep a bulk of the traffic out of the Corbett and Larry Hill neighborhoods. So that allows a reduction of volumes on NATO Parkway. And then that allows the idea of reconfiguring all that excess right-of-way into more of a pedestrian bike-friendly Main Street. So eastbound traffic how that would work. Coming from the south, it works a lot like how it does today. You would head north on NATO Parkway, make a right turn, and go onto the bridge. If you were coming from I-405 or the Sylvan Tunnels near Highway 26, similar to how it is today, weaving through Sheridan to Arthur onto Kelly, and then onto the bridge from I-5 northbound, take the flyover ramp, connects with Kelly, and then that goes onto the bridge. And from downtown, down NATO Parkway, look, this is a change, different than today. You'd make a right turn on Sheridan, then onto First, and then there's a reconfigured traffic signal here on Arthur, and then that traffic would proceed on Kelly to the Ross Island Bridge. And then in the westbound direction, so this is traffic coming off the bridge towards the neighborhoods, westbound traffic to NATO southbound is pretty similar to how it is now, although it's more managed by streets and traffic signals. Westbound 26 to I-405 is similar to how it works today by traffic routed on Kelly Avenue. And then the traffic from the Ross Island Bridge to NATO Parkway North. So if you came over the Ross Island Bridge, you wanted to go downtown, you would go straight to NATO Parkway to a traffic signal, make a right-hand turn, you're on NATO, and you go right into downtown. So today, that's different than today, because if you're on the Ross Island Bridge and you want to go downtown, you would get onto Kelly Avenue and you take this ramp that just puts you up into a merge onto NATO. But in this scheme, you would just go straight, you get to a traffic signal, you go right turn, you're on NATO Main Street, and it heads right into NATO in downtown. Kevin?
So BPS is working on an urban design concept that pairs with the transportation concept that Patrick was just laying out. And thematically, it's broken down into four sections. So you can see the color bar on the left side of the screen running parallel with NATO Parkway from top to bottom. Starting at the top is the North Parkway section in green that runs from Lincoln Street to the viaduct over I-405. And this North Parkway section features the Better NATO extension and Green Loop connections. Next is the viaduct section in orange, where the existing overpasses over I-405 and Arthur Street, Kelly Avenue are located. And then next is the core area in blue, roughly between the viaduct and about Whitaker Street. That's the focal point of our land use planning. And last but not least is the South Parkway in green at the bottom that runs all the way to Barber Boulevard that will have a feeling that's similar to the North Parkway and has a redesigned intersection with Barber Boulevard in the future light rail. Some key features that we're focusing on are these opportunity sites, which are shown in purple, the purple shapes on the diagram. Some of these are publicly owned parcels that are currently right-of-way, such as the three blocks where the Ross Island bridge ramps are today. And some of these are just vacant lots. There may also be several smaller remnant parcels that are also right-of-way right now, but could be redeveloped in the future. So just to kind of guide you through what you're seeing here in the diagram, yellow kind of mustard color along First Avenue and then crossing along Gibbs to Corbett Avenue is a commercial corridor that follows the historic streetcar route that used to run through here. The brown hash marks indicate the South Portland Historic District. The Green Loop bicycle route is shown in light green dots, kind of in the upper part in the North Greenway. The red dashed line is showing the planned Southwest Corridor Max light rail line on Barber from downtown to Tigard and Tualatin. The red dots show the future Max station at Barber and Gibbs. And dark green dots on NATO are some new street trees. You may have also noticed that there's quite a bit of these proposed transportation improvements circulating around one of the major institutions in the area, the National University of Natural Medicine, NUNM. They are a key partner in this, and they have a long-term campus master plan that's central to this. And there's also some other institutions like OHSU and the Cedarwood School that are also stakeholders in this project. So next we're going to zoom in on some of the focal points of this project.
Yeah, before I go to the next slide, I just want to highlight these three blocks that Kevin mentioned. And what's so interesting about this is right now, in current conditions, this is all a weave of highway ramps. But with this kind of couplet design, it provides these three potential development blocks that are already public land. Now, it doesn't mean that it's free and clear for development. The land is split in ownership between PBOT and ODOT. And those are agreements that will need to be worked out before any kind of development could happen. But the key is, these are three blocks in the middle of this area that are already in public ownership, which are fundamental to how the land use and the transportation works hand in glove with this, you know, these overall concepts working together. So NATO Parkway today, as seen in the upper right, it's a highway facility, the remnant highway from, you know, back when the way things were done in the 40s and the 50s. But this, it has generous right-of-way. And this is not often the case for PBOT projects where we have a lot of right-of-way to work with. We normally are always trying to squeeze so much in because we would like to have more. This is one of those cases where we have a fair amount of right-of-way to work with. So looking at the hand sketch below is a potential reconfiguration of the right-of-way, which is a transformation towards accommodating safe facilities for pedestrians, for cyclists, and for development that actually can be an address on the street. If you look at the photo above, and you think about the concept of an address where people are proud to have a business or a home or a university, this is not the kind of street that looks really great, but the concept below is the kind of place where you have an address where people are proud of either being, owning, working at, or, you know, going to on a daily basis. Kevin?
Yeah, I think you nailed it with this slide. The only thing I'll add was that, you know, it's, if you go there, if you go to NATO Parkway today, it's really hard to imagine this area as a place, as a street that you want to be a pedestrian or ride a bicycle through or live or work or shop in. But that's the goal of transforming NATO Parkway into a neighborhood main street. We can go on to the next slide, Patrick. So what you're seeing now is an early rendering of the concepts that PBOT and BPS staff have been working on with community members to develop. This rendering is showing what new development could look like to complement the new NATO Main Street. And this means planning for the key opportunity sites in that core area, such as some limited zoning changes and identifying needed community benefits. PBOT and BPS staff have been working together with community members to develop some complementary transportation and land use concepts that kind of reinforce that neighborhood cohesion, multimodal safety, and inclusive and equitable development opportunities. And then on the next slide, we're going to zoom in on the three main opportunity sites in that core area where the bridge ramps are today. So just to orient you now, downtown would be above this, the river is to the right, and NATO is kind of running top to bottom, kind of just left of center of the screen. And this diagram shows the three main opportunity sites where the ramps are located today. And when those ramps are gone and the new streets are built more or less along the old street grid, they're essentially going to be three city blocks that will be you know, publicly owned, can be redeveloped. So what's the vision for these big opportunity sites? You know, we know that City Council has already identified this as an opportunity for affordable housing with some mixed income housing through the equitable housing strategy for the whole Southwest Corridor. So we know that's a priority for that for the city, but you know, what else? So we started an engagement process earlier this year, but we paused over the summer to kind of better understand the equity implications. And this is kind of just showing, you know, where we are right now. So this sort of development concept highlights include 400 to 500 units of housing. Around 150 of those could be affordable. And also some community amenities like a grocery store, which right now there really isn't one in the neighborhood. A cultural center of some kind, but you know, we're still working on for whom and by whom. There could be some office space on these blocks that could provide some space for neighboring institutions with office space, classroom space, some clinic space. This office use could also help buffer some of the traffic noise and visual impacts. The realignment really creates an opportunity. Another opportunity with the realignment is an artistic mural wall on a retaining wall that's going to be built, and a new greenway along Grover Street. You're also seeing a couple of festival streets on Woods and Grover Streets between NATO and First Avenue. So now to kind of go down to street level, and this might be surprising and hard to imagine, but these are just some images of showing what these concepts could look like. Again, we don't know for sure what's going to happen or what they'll look like, but the idea is to think of, you know, the change that's possible from what's there today, and this could be pretty different. And we do know that there's concern about the height of buildings that we still need to work through with the neighborhood. But this view is looking southeast on NATO Parkway at Wood Street, which is now part of the ramp to get to the bridge. Then this next image is showing the Festival Street concept on Wood Street between NATO and First. So this view is just moving a block to the west from where we were just looking. Kind of looking east towards Mount Hood from First Avenue. So again, quite a bit different from today. So to make this vision possible, we expect to include some limited zoning changes, and this is showing just a couple of them. The opportunity sites, which consist of two blocks on the east side of NATO, we're expecting to recommend changing that from RM3 to CM3 to facilitate this concept. And we're looking at recommending changing another block, which is partially private owners and partially a right-of-way, from RM1 to CM2 to help support that Main Street concept on NATO. Next steps for BPS are to revisit these concepts with the equity analysis in mind, and working with the Neighborhood Association also to run some feasibility testing of these concepts and include them in the land use plan. Then looking at implementation in discussions with ODOT and TriMet and Metro through the Southwest Corridor process around an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding, about the future of these publicly owned sites that we've talked about here today. And also the MOU would include the West Portland Town Center project as well. And then another vehicle for implementation is the Transportation Systems Plan, or the TSP. And this is a bit more technical and wonky, but this will be a needed change. The plan will identify all the streets that need their TSP classifications changed. For example, NATO was planned to be part of the Southwest Corridor alignment, which is no longer the case today. Plus, there's going to be new streets created by the Ross Island Bridge alignment, or the realignment, that'll need their own new classifications as well.
So the community engagement effort up to this point has included two public open house events, and the last was on February 25th, right before COVID hit. We've had meetings with NUNM and their board. We've had numerous meetings with South Portland Neighborhood Association, some as recent as last night, associated with the Southwest Corridor Project. We had a briefing with the Planning and Sustainability Commission. We have a third online public meeting scheduled for October 20th from 5:30 to 7. This briefing, and we will have a briefing with Historic Landmarks Commission on Monday, October 12th. So it's important to note the level of interest in this project from the surrounding neighborhoods is really high. I've recently received emails from South Portland neighborhood leaders. The neighborhood wants to be assured that a robust community engagement process will be a part of the plan as it moves forward. And it's totally understood. These are big changes for a neighborhood, welcome changes, game-changing type of changes, and the neighborhood wants to be at the table, and as well they should. So neighborhoods and stakeholders will be involved, and they will help us create the community engagement strategy as this concept moves forward. Kevin?
Yeah, thanks, Patrick. I'm glad you mentioned those upcoming briefings and meetings. But again, for next steps for BPS, we're going to revisit those development concepts for the opportunity sites after we finish the equity analysis. So again, there's plenty of room for change there. And we will make sure to engage with the broader South Portland Neighborhood Association as part of that conversation. And this is all going to happen before we release the public discussion draft.
So a question I often get is how could this happen? How fast, maybe when? Well, in November is when there'll be a regional vote on the regional investment measure. And if the vote is yes, we're gonna get to work right away. So in 2021 through 2023, we will take this concept, and this is a concept level design, in through design and engineering. So if we're at say 10% design right now with this concept, we'll be moving it into 30%, 60%, 90% design and engineering drawings, and ultimately construction drawings for bid. That would be around 2023 when this would be bid out for construction, and then construction occurring in 2024. The regional investment measure does not pass, does not mean that we're walking away from the project, although it's gonna take longer, it's gonna be harder. Conveniently, strategically, this whole Ross Island Bridgehead transportation project is included in the NEPA process for the Southwest Corridor project. So when that project has its final environmental impact statement and gets a record of decision, it will provide the environmental clearance for these Ross Island Bridgehead NATO Main Street improvements, so that way we'll be able to seek federal funding to implement the Ross Island Bridgehead and NATO Main Street project. So it broadens the scope of potential funding partners that we can look to if the regional investment measure doesn't pass. But ultimately, that's gonna extend the project timeline out because it takes a while to get in the queue and compete for federal funding, particularly federal grant funding. So I think ultimately it would add 2 to 4 years onto the construction process. But we want to get this project done. With that, we're ready for your questions.
Patrick and Kevin, thank you very much. Commissioners, do you have questions you'd like to ask? I'm sure everybody does. Who would like to begin?
I have one. This is Brian. Great project, Patrick. When you say significantly reducing regional traffic,
right,
are you meaning that the same amount of traffic is going to get consolidated into predictable corridors, or actually is the design meant to, I guess, for lack of a better word, discourage as many trips going through this portal? And if so, where is that other traffic going?
All right, I'm gonna jump back some slides because I think there's a slide that can help me answer your question. So bear with me here for a second. Okay. The amount of traffic. So right now, traffic mainly goes on NATO onto the ramps and weaves. And a lot of it is handled by merges and looking over the shoulder and merging and weaving. And as I mentioned before, it comes at the expense of the Corbett neighborhood, the Lair Hill neighborhood, NUNM campus, because, you know, this is regional traffic pulsing through local neighborhoods. So with the couplet, it reduces the amount of regional traffic pulsing through this area. And so it'll be the same amount of traffic, but it's handled on Kelly and Arthur, and by the way that these traffic signals work. So the traffic signals will be timed so that during the highest peak, there'll be more green time to accommodate the PM, you know, the PM or AM flows, so that it helps reduce the amount of regional traffic that Waze might tell people to cut through neighborhoods. So that's one part of it. Second part of it is there are physical improvements that will take out regional cut-throughs. So for instance, the Kelly Street on-ramp, that will be gone. So there won't be people coming from I-5 to Ross Island Bridge using the neighborhood to get on because they won't be able to. And with that Kelly Street ramp gone, that also reduces a ton of cut-through traffic that happens every day on Corbett and Kelly Avenue headed northbound to get onto that Kelly Street ramp to use the Ross Island Bridge. So in the afternoons, if you've ever been in this neighborhood, traffic just stacks up block after block after block. And in talking to the residents who live here, they see the traffic lined up out their front porches. There's people honking, there's people getting road rage, there's lots of fumes. You know, I can definitely empathize with the neighbors, and getting rid of this ramp is key to restoring some neighborhood livability in the Corbett neighborhood. Now across NATO Parkway, there's a fair amount of cut-through traffic that occurs in Lair Hill as well. And so some of these physical changes will help reroute the traffic, and then by smarter use of traffic signals can help pulse the traffic through at different times of the day.
That's great. I really appreciate that. And I wouldn't mind if some people don't find this a handy place to cut through and impact everybody's neighborhood. But it sounds like you're going to handle it really well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other commissioners?
I have a question. There is an area north of the campus of the natural medicine that basically it's right now consists of a lot of sort of dead ends, or you have to find your way, but you can find your way somehow to the south waterfront. I didn't see any study or recommendations or even evaluation of the street patterns or how that connection between Lair Hill and Corbett area be made for pedestrian and bicycle other than the bridge, pedestrian bridge, to the south waterfront area. Huh. And can you describe that? Do you understand what I'm talking about?
I think I do. And it might be this diagram that helps. And if I'm not mistaken, were you talking about this area north of Kelly in between?
Yeah, yes, all of that area. I mean, it also has potential for development. There are a lot of vacant stuff. But the streets are sort of like some of them disconnected or not very clear how you can get under the freeway and get connected to north, south waterfront.
Yeah, this is a pretty tough corner because you're hemmed in by I-405 and I-5, which are significant things to try to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So what the yellow indicates are pedestrian crossing or pedestrian routes from South Waterfront up into NUNM in the Lara Hill neighborhood. So there's two ways to do that. And one is the Water Avenue to Hooker Street. And this intersection here will be rebuilt with a traffic signal to allow for pedestrian crossings. This is an existing pedestrian path or route today. And then Gibbs Street will have a new traffic signal on NATO. So you'll be able to cross here. And then there'll be a complete pedestrian and ADA-friendly access from Gibbs Street up to Barber and the Barber Transit Center. The Gibbs Street Light Rail Station. And then the Markham Hill Connector will connect up to Terwilliger. So with the Darlene-Hooley Bridge already in place over I-5, and then Gibbs Street with much easier connections across, we'll really kind of connect the hill to Williger to help South Waterfront. So that will be reinforced by some improvements of both projects, Southwest Corridor and the Ross Island Bridgehead NATO. Then the traffic signals here will help with Hooker Street in getting that connection. And then with the potential redevelopment or reconsideration of these blocks up here north of I-405, the Green Loop is another potential pedestrian connection. Remains to be seen exactly where that would be located across NATO, but that could be another signalized pedestrian crossing for people to get across and then get down to towards the waterfront development area and then cross Harrison and then to NATO and into downtown. But
how about for cars within that area, the cars getting connected to South Waterfront? One thing that we keep hearing when we review projects from in South Waterfront is the community's concerns about traffic bottleneck. And I was just wondering if there are ways that the connection through this area that you were pointing to north of Kelly and under the freeway, it could be a better connection to South Waterfront for vehicles as well.
Yeah, that's, because right now this actually can work for vehicles. You have a turnaround here and Kevin, is this a vehicle connection through down to Moody? I believe it is, right.
You know, I have found my way somehow to Moody from the area. But if you tell me how I got there, I have no idea, but I found it. And I was just wondering, you know, whether there was any studies, or is it intentional that you are not trying to do anything there to encourage that kind of connections?
Well, so thank you for helping me think through this. There is a traffic signal right in this area here underneath the Markham Bridge.
Yes.
And there's this curious road that goes up a hill and then you make a left turn and you go up some steep hills to get up to Kelly Avenue. So this is, and this is how the international school, and then how some residences and some offices in this area, there's some vehicle access that occurs through here. Building new streets in right-of-way to convey more vehicles wasn't a priority in this area for this project. The main priority for this project was to, a couple things, is one is to help redress past harms from land use and transportation projects that have just, where the Lair Hill and the Corbett neighborhood have just had the burden of all these impacts for decades and decades and decades. And even walking along NATO and just not being able to cross the street is just, and to think we actually live in Portland and you can't cross, there's a place where you can't cross the street. It's almost, it's like unfathomable. But this would help, you know, transform this street. But improving auto circulation through this little area right here, that just was not a major priority for the project.
So right now, Corbett to Water to Sheridan is the route that you take to get down to Moody.
Right, right. Thank you.
You just have to know it's there, but it does directly connect to Moody.
It's like a locals only route.
Yep.
I wanted to mention real quick, because I know we're going to run out of time soon, is something that's not really in our briefing, but we will be working on a character statement for NATO Parkway or NATO Main Street, similar to that McAdam kind of design character statement that you just reviewed a few months ago. So that's a little something, I guess, that's more related to the design commission, is that we will be have a NATO Main Street character statement that will come to you at some point for review.
So Kevin and Patrick, this is a really great and thorough presentation, and it's a really exciting project. And when I was looking at this before we came into the hearings room, when the packets arrived last week, you know, I thought, Peapot gets to work on such great stuff because it is truly transformational, and that is exciting. So when I was looking at the zoning map, it looks as if the two easternmost opportunity sites are in the D overlay. The third, the one that's furthest west, is not. And then the D overlay is really very much to the north and then to the east from this project area. Have you had conversations with Planning and Sustainability Commission about expanding the D in this area? Do you know if that is part of the zoning that will be considered for the entire project area?
That's a good question, Commissioner Livingston. The reason that you don't see the D overlay on that side of NATO is because it's actually in the South Portland Historic District. And so everything over there, as appropriate, gets the historic resource review, which is essentially design review for historic resources. Other than that site going from RM3 to RM or to CM3, it's already in the D overlay. So I don't know that we're gonna see a lot of new D overlay added as part of this project.
Okay.
That could change, but right now it doesn't look like any big changes.
Okay. So, okay, gotcha. So I see, I understand now what is in the historic overlay. That just, it was not clear to me before. So the move from the residential multi-dwelling zones to the commercial mixed-use zones, is there a significant increase in FAR and height associated with that zone change? Are you experiencing a lot of pushback from the neighborhoods?
There are differences in FAR and height for sure, and part of the reason that we will probably be recommending this change is because we want to maximize the potential for these publicly owned sites, especially for community benefit purposes. But yes, as recently as last night, we received a letter from the South Portland Historic or the South Portland Neighborhood Association that they've approved like a resolution with their kind of neighborhood position on the project, and they are concerned about the height of buildings. They want to preserve old trees. They want to make sure that whatever happens on these sites fits in with the surrounding neighborhood. And, you know, that's something we're trying to be responsive to. So yeah, we have been hearing that.
Julie, I have one more question for Kevin.
Sure.
Kevin, do you have a breakdown of the demographic of the population that was in this area in the 30s?
I don't know if we have, I can't say that we've pulled census data from back then, but we do know from some other documents, I quickly mentioned this earlier, but we know that around 40% of this neighborhood as a whole was foreign born, you know, back in the 30s or 40s. So it was really diverse. It was essentially one of Portland's melting pots closer to the turn of the last century. But that diversity for various reasons has really declined, and it's now still primarily a white neighborhood. But that diversity is increasing with people of color over time, a little bit slower than the city as a whole, but it is changing.
But even foreign-born, 40% foreign-born, they could be Caucasians, correct?
Yeah, that would include people of European descent. This was an area with a lot of Italian immigrants, a lot of Jewish immigrants.
Right.
But there was a good, a sizable Asian population, as well as a good Black population. Mm-hmm. But which, you know, because of this project, this urban renewal project on the screen, amongst other reasons, displaced those people.
Good.
Okay. Any
attempts to recognize or acknowledge some of the prior inhabitants of this area, both indigenous and immigrants, et cetera?
That's one of the core reasons we're doing this equity analysis right mm-hmm. now, is to kind of identify those and find out, you know, because it's not going to be possible to bring back the neighborhood that was here 100 years ago. It's not going to happen. So the reality is, you know, what does the future of this neighborhood look like, and how can it be more inclusive than in the past? And so that's what we're working on right now.
And any acknowledgements, placeholders, et cetera, in the neighborhood, perhaps, that would acknowledge what happened in the past?
Yes. Synagogue,
for example, and torn down.
Yeah. Yeah, great question. So there's a couple of things going on. We're working with the city's tribal liaison in City Hall to see if we can convene at some sort of convening of the tribes to see what would be appropriate in this area. It could be an acknowledgement of some kind. It could manifest some other way. We are cognizant of the impacts to the Jewish community in particular over time in the past, and they are part of our equity analysis and will hopefully inform you know, what happens in the future in terms of recognizing that past and honoring it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Nice, great briefing.
Nice presentation.
Thank you. I just have one other point I just quickly need to make, is just recognizing the project partners particularly from the transportation side. Yeah, we have a long history of working really well with our partners. So I just want to, you know, we're working very closely with TriMet because there are significant transit connections up to Barber, and then also for the local bus lines on NATO Parkway. So those are very important. And then also, working very closely with ODOT, moving regional traffic, from the Ross Island Bridge to I-405, you know, that's an important consideration with how that can work in coordination with the NATO Main Street concept and the ramp reconfiguration. So we are still in discussions and working out some details, but I just wanted to acknowledge that we still have more conversations to go, but we enjoy having a partnership with other agencies in moving these ideas forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And good luck in November.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Hillary. Okay, commissioners, it is 2:43. The next item on our agenda is LU20-169249DZ, the Central Plaza Garage Alterations. Let's take a short break. And in fact, let's take a 10-minute break. Let's come back at 2:55, which gets us to just a